What a great God we do serve, amen? He is worthy of all of our praise, our thanksgiving, our service, everything about us. Oop, I'm keep cutting in and out here. What's going on? Sorry about that. If you have your Bibles with you, turn over to the book of Romans. We're going to be looking at the book of Romans once again. Chapter 8 is where we're at, Romans chapter 8. Well, as been mentioned this week, last week, another year is upon us. We are one full week into it. Woo! We only have 51 more weeks to go to finish out the year, right? What happened to last year? Where did it go to? One day at a time. It all disappears, doesn't it? God has given us life today. Last week, Brother Ted was teasing us about making resolutions, and we've been challenged to make some more resolutions to be faithful to God. Every morning that we wake up, every time we wake up, some of you wake up other times in the morning, give it to God. Amen? It's all belonging to God. Brother Ted also wrote an interesting, thoughtful article in the January Bulletin. If you haven't read that yet, please take time to do that on that calendar page. He's got some challenging thoughts for us, encouraging thoughts. With the arrival of this new year, let's be supportive and encouraging to each other to face each and every day in the decisions that we have, in the challenges that we have, that we can honor and glorify God in all things, that we can be helpful and beneficial to each other in those challenges. Another part of the new year is that most of us we'll be preparing those reports to Uncle Sam. Yeah, isn't that a wonderful thought? Yeah, getting ready for those IRS reports, all that fun stuff. But some of those things don't wait for a new year, do they? When Sally and I first moved from Alamogordo back to Missouri, my main vehicle was a 1987 Chevy pickup. I had a camper on the back and not just a shell, so I could carry all my junk, all my stuff in the back, lock it up and not have to worry about it. And after about 3.5 years being back there in Missouri, for some reason the motor decided it was time to quit after 200,000 miles. I haven't figured out why it wanted to give up, but it decided it was time to quit. And it didn't wait for a calendar. It didn't give me any kind of, well, it gave me a few warnings. I knew the end was coming, but it always catches you kind of off guard. But thankfully, I praise God for guys who have knowledge and abilities. Last week we had a couple of visitors here. Wade and Lee Haynes were here. Well, Wade is mechanically inclined, along with some other guys back there in Missouri. And he, along with the others, got a rebuilt motor put back in my truck and got me back rolling down the road so that I could be about my business. Thank God for people with that kind of knowledge. And then through the process, with their help, they saved me several hundred dollars so I didn't have to pay that extra for mechanics to get all that stuff done. Anyway, another thing is that that doesn't wait for the calendar is home maintenance. Any of you have things that happen at your house not on your calendar? Things break down, things need repaired, painted, restored. Your personal all of you have perfect health, right? Nothing ever goes wrong. Our health doesn't wait for the calendar. It doesn't tell us which days to be ready to go see a doctor because of some special need. We have to try to stay on top of it, but things happen that we get sick when we least expect it sometimes in spite of our efforts. Staying ahead of that trouble and tending to the problems is no guarantee that you will have to face some kind of a major issue with your home, with your body, or with other things. In writing to the letter to the Roman people, the Apostle Paul has led us by the Holy Spirit to review the condition of humanity. All people are slaves to sin on their own. However, God loves us, right? Amen. Jesus Christ was sent into the world. He came according to the prophecy. He gave his life as the final sacrifice for all sin to give us freedom from the clutches of sin. And with that, he also has some expectations for us when we make that change, when we give our life to Jesus. That God wants us to live by his standards, by his rules, by his guidelines once we become a Christian. And so the Apostle Paul makes a steady argument, discussion, a reasoning through the book of Romans on what God wants us to do. He also refers to the future home for Christians who have placed their hope in Jesus Christ. Does God only help us here in this world? The answer is no. God has greater plans for us. There is something better coming. God promises to remove death, decay, destruction, all the pain, all the suffering, in which there will only be perfect righteousness. This transformation is provided by Christ, through Christ, and it is to renovate people into becoming new creatures. We are new people. You have been born again like a butterfly. You're not an ugly, crawly caterpillar anymore. You are to be flying high with Jesus Christ. Amen? And it doesn't take drugs. I'm not talking about that flying high. I'm talking about the change, the transformation Jesus gives us as we become his servants with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And we're told that it's not just us who benefits. The entire universe is going to be renovated. God is going to change all things, the scripture says. And so today we're going to be looking at the renovation of the universe. Let's read this passage, these few verses that I've picked out to focus on today. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18 through verse 25. The Apostle Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." Amen. Would you join me in a word of prayer at this time? Father, we have talked briefly about your great expectations, your gift, the book of Romans, your directives that you've given to us, and now we've just read a portion of these that talks about the future, the change that you make in our personal bodies, and also the change that you plan for all of this creation. Thank you for the assurance that there is more to come, that there is perfection to come, that we have nothing to worry about or to fear when we walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask your blessing to help us to grow in understanding, to be knowledgeable of your word, your promises, to strengthen our hope for the fulfillment of that which you have promised. You have kept all of your previous promises. We have seen, we have the record of the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, help us to keep our faith strong and to strengthen it for the final, the preparation for eternity with you. Please be with those who have not made a commitment to the Lord. Help us to encourage them, guide them, and to strengthen them. We pray for our witness that we would share the good news, the hope, with those around us. We pray for your guidance, your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. We've just read this section that talks about something that is yet to come. The promises that God has given to us, there is more. It's not just what we see right now, but we have hopes for something better. The feeble condition of our world and our universe is not due to a bad design or faulty construction, for it was brought into existence by the perfect Almighty God. Instead, this weakness is a direct result of what? Human sin. Our sin is what causes this universe to fall into disarray. A lot of people say, well, if God is God, why do we have such a rotten thing going on? Why is there bad weather? Why are there tornadoes and hurricanes? All these different things that God is being accused of, when in reality, sin is the source of all of these things, this destructive nature. Genesis 3 records the tragic day when people thought they knew better than God and they made their choice to believe Satan instead of believing God. This started the chain of events leading to the demise not only of their lives, but also of this physical universe in which they lived. The entire universe, not just part of it, not just this world, not just the Middle East, but the entire universe, Scripture says. God's statement to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 begins, "Cursed is the ground because of you." Wow. The sin of Adam didn't just affect him, it affected everything in this creation. Verse 19 then curses people to return where? Back to the dust from which they came in the process called death. But right in the middle of all of those curses, verse 15, there's a ray of hope that had been planted in the middle of the curse that identifies a Savior, a male, the seed of the woman who would crush the power of the serpent of old. That ray of hope was expanded upon several hundred times through different prophecies, promises from God that there is better coming. And of course, we just celebrated Christmas season, the celebration of the birth of the Messiah. It has come to be true. It is fulfilled. Jesus has returned back to heaven. And since Jesus is the victor over death, we are promised that there is a better universe to come. Not just our lives, but everything is going to be better. Total perfection is going to be restored. I've never seen perfection. Now, we call a lot of things pretty neat and close to perfection, but in this world, in this universe, there's nothing perfect outside of God. And God says he's making everything what? New. We see a lot of stuff, but it's all recycled from this world, isn't it? But God has promised us everything is going to be new. That's going to be neat. Let's briefly look at this. The first point I want to bring across is God's renovation begins in the human belief. Our belief is a critical factor. God gave each of us the mind to use in learning, to analyze, to reason, and to believe things that we just can't always see. You have to have belief. Everybody has some kind of belief. We often refer to our deepest convictions as to what we believe in our hearts. Now, how many of you jumped into a vehicle today and inserted a key with the idea, the concept of what? That vehicle would start. You had to have a little bit of faith that everything was going to work just right. And because certain things react to other certain things, your belief came to be true. We could talk about belief, but that's not the focus of this. All of us exercise various measures of belief. Romans was written to the people placing their faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 5, and then on, continuing through, points out that their heart condition was a condition of faith in Jesus Christ. They had heard the good news of salvation. They'd heard the gospel message that salvation was available in Jesus Christ, and they became devoted to living by His commands. Most of those people had never seen Jesus. They only heard the message, and they were convinced that Jesus could and would be their Savior. They believed in that message. Jesus used the phrase of being born again with Nicodemus to describe this renovation initiated by what we believe. Jesus told the teacher that water and God's Spirit were key parts in bringing about that necessary change. Then in verse 16 of John chapter 3, we are told Jesus said that belief in God's Son was also necessary. Several factors working together. Jesus identified basically five key components in this transformation process of the human heart. And we've talked about these several times through past sermons in comments and study. And last Sunday, we went through this list. All five parts work together as God's grace embraces our life. Very quickly, we spoke of these. The first one is faith or belief in Jesus as the Savior. We see that over and over again throughout the Scripture, especially the New Testament, John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, and so on. This is repeated throughout the New Testament. Jesus talks about the necessity of belief. Paul talks about the necessity of belief in Jesus. The second one is that repentance is critical, leaving sin and turning back to God. Several passages refer to that. Jesus talked about the necessity of turning away from sin, choosing God. Jesus also talked about confession, confessing our belief before others. He said, if you don't confess me before others, I won't confess you before my Father. He also talked about the necessity of confessing our sins. So in a sense, confession is a part A, part B. Confessing that we are incomplete, we are sinners in ourselves, but God has changed us, and we need to be sharing that message with the people around us. We also see that Jesus commanded baptism. Baptism of believers is commanded by Jesus Christ, was fully practiced by the first century church. We see that recorded several times in the book of Acts. Jesus, as He left this earth, Matthew 28:19, book of Mark chapter 16, the final words of Jesus were for the disciples to go out and baptize those who believed in Jesus. And we see that the first century church and on practiced this obedience. Faithfulness to Christ is the one that gets a lot of people. Being faithful for how long? Till we die. for the rest of our lives. Faithfulness to Jesus Christ is critical the rest of our lives. It is essential. If we really have died to our sin, then we're going to be living in righteousness, honoring Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God helps us in that fight. We've discussed it. We've read it back in Romans chapter 6 and 7. That Christ is working in us through His Spirit every single day to face the worldly desires and to make good choices instead of bad choices, choosing righteousness instead of the ways of the world. It is a battle. We've talked about that battle. The Apostle Paul discussed that battle of we are choosing between what is spiritually perfect and a worldly body that still desires and craves the things of this world. So it is a battle. But God has given us the plan. Jesus gave us the plan. God's renovation begins in the human heart as Jesus Christ is made Lord and we have the help of God to live for Him. With Jesus ruling in our hearts, we find that God's renovation moves to another stage, to another factor. Point two is that God's renovation infiltrates nations. The human heart, left on its own, is capable of enormous cruelty as it copies the lessons of Satan, the destroyer, the prince of death. But as Christians, we have a different master now, right? We have Jesus. Cruelty to fellow humans is looked down upon, and yet cruelty to fellow humans abounds in history as well as in many parts of our present world. We hear about it on the news. Evil still thrives, but God has a better plan. And those who are open to God's will and biblical principles find a new way to live. Now, in the time of Jesus Christ, what was the big practice? Crucifixion. Crucifixion was one of the cruelest tools of torture created by man at the time. It included the humiliation of the person hung naked out in public view. The practice was designed to increase and extend pain in the victim for as long as possible. Death evaded many victims for days. They would hang in excruciating pain for days on these crosses. And that was the plan, to cause as much pain and suffering as possible to psychologically influence all those who were watching down below. Because the Romans wanted you to submit to their will, no matter how evil or corrupt it was. And so if you're thinking, oh, well, you're going to hang on a cross for 10 days, starving to death in excruciating pain, how many of you want that for your future? It was not something desired. That's why Jesus prayed, Father, is there some other way? And yet there wasn't, because God's word had to be fulfilled that Jesus would die on the cross. What happened when Christianity spread across the Roman Empire? The practice of crucifixion was eventually done away with. As the influence of Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire, people grew a heart. They grew an understanding that people are made in whose image? God's image. Christianity promotes compassion for people, even for the cruelest of people. With God's Spirit living in people, human minds are enabled to practice righteousness, which leads to what we term today humane treatment. Before Jesus, other people were just considered as cattle, as possession, as property, as another thing to get past. But in Christ, we learn that we're all made in God's image. And we're all valuable. So valuable that Jesus died for how many? All of us. Many other torture practices have been devised by man through the centuries. Wars have been brutal and bloody, even in our Old Testament. But Christianity has promoted guidelines to what humanity now considers to be civilized versus barbaric practices, treatments. And if you've had a Christian influence, you make a difference. Some things are immoral. Why? Because God says they're immoral. American culture is ingrained with Christian principles, made into our laws that treat both citizens and enemies with respect, dignity, and godly love. A lot of people don't realize they're doing that, but it is part of our culture because our forefathers believed in the Bible, and they practiced it, and it was implemented into our laws, into our thinking process as Americans. U.S. history records that during the Revolutionary War, when we were fighting England and all these soldiers were coming over from Europe to destroy the colonists, what were the colonists doing? In direct contrast to the ancient practice of enslaving, mutilating, or killing the prisoners, our ancestors, the colonists, would talk to the prisoner, the captured enemy soldiers, and they would take a verbal oath with the promise that the soldier would not return to harm the colonists in the name of Jesus Christ. And if that soldier agreed and made the oath, sometimes one colonist would shepherd a whole troop of enemy soldiers to a ship, and those soldiers would board the ship, and the colonists sent those soldiers, the enemy, back to their homes with the promise they would never return. That's a change. Because of why? Because of the influence of Jesus Christ. That's recorded in The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and David Manuel in their book. It's part of our history. Americans believed in God who holds all people accountable. And that influence spread even to the enemy. Biblical principles are still the basis for guiding the laws of the United States, even our cruelest evil, despicable people who do horrible things, are they put in a torture chamber? No, they're sent to a prison and given food, water, and a bed, and a blanket, television, exercise room, etc., etc., etc. Totally different mindset. Evaluate the world culture surrounding us. Everywhere that biblical Christianity has had an influence, godly principles transform the attitudes of the people as to how to treat fellow humans as people made in God's image who are to be treated with dignity. Read the reports on the mission board out in our hallway. See how the influence of Christianity is changing other cultures today. God's word is powerful. It is sharp. It reaches to the heart of the matter. And it changes those who are seeking life. God's renovation truly infiltrates nations when Jesus is Lord. God has the ability to still renovate human hearts today. We are commanded to watch out for the ways of the world, to not love this world or the things in it. Why not? Because there's one more renovation that God is going to fulfill. God has another renovation in His plan. What is it? And that's what our text is about. God's renovation will transform this universe. We see this mentioned starting in verse 21. Sin has scarred this creation, just as it has scarred our minds and our bodies. God has planned something much better for His children. What is the glory of the children of God mentioned in this text? God led Isaiah to foretell we as people will have new bodies, we'll have new government, and also we will have a new universe. The New Testament repeats and expands on these prophecies. God promises His children new bodies. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5 and following, it refers to our resurrection just like Jesus was resurrected. Was Jesus just a ghost floating around? No. The apostles say we ate with Him, we talked with Him, we touched Him. We lived with Jesus after His resurrection. And yet, it was quite a body that Jesus had. Did Jesus have to eat? No. And yet He could eat. And He did eat with the disciples. He even cooked breakfast for them one morning. He could appear and disappear. He was not limited by this world. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." We will follow in the pattern of Jesus Christ. All humanity and creation is dying as a result of sin. But Jesus paid the final price for all of those sins, ours included. And Jesus is triumphant over death. He has beaten death with life. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58 tells us that Jesus has promised us new bodies that will never be afflicted by sin again. Verse 42 and following says that our bodies will be imperishable and spiritual, like Christ's resurrected body. That resurrected body that could appear and disappear, could float in the air or walk on the ground, could eat or live without eating, unhindered by the physical laws that we now know. Another factor is that righteousness and perfection will govern the residence. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12 foretells that a time is coming when there will be only one perfect nation. Now, there are people today who are trying to make a one-world government in our world, but it's led by corrupt leaders, sinful leaders. They've got bad intentions for you because their leader, their master, their king is who? Satan, the prince of this world. And we are warned about that in Scripture. But God says He's bringing about a perfect kingdom with one leader. Amen? No other nation will exist or threaten that eternal kingdom because it will be led by God Himself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 through 11 tells us, "Since Jesus gave up heaven for the cross, God will make every person bow to Him." Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 restates the promise that the King of creation will reign from the New Jerusalem. All corruption will be cast where? Into the lake of fire, and will be unable to influence Almighty God, His eternal kingdom, and His people. Perfection will reign. God keeps His promises. His final renovation to transform all of this creation with Jesus Christ reigning as Lord over all things is coming. All things will be made new. The question is, will we be in the crowd? Will we be praising Him, or will we be cast away. If you're not in Jesus Christ, we encourage you to get your life straight with Him today. God has kept all of His promises. He's given us a Redeemer, a Savior, and He's coming back. But that will be the final curtain. You're either in Christ or you're out of Him. Only those redeemed will be saved. Make sure you're walking with Jesus. The blessings are eternal and they are fantastic. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your promises of eternal life, the assurance that we have because of Jesus. Thank you for your scriptures that direct us and give us hope. We are still waiting for the fulfillment of that promise. We don't have it in hand. We are influenced by a world filled with corruption. We are surrounded by bad things. We still struggle with sinful thoughts. Father, we thank you for your help in your Spirit, your scriptures, for fellow believers to help each other. And we just pray that you would continue to let your power and your glory reign through us until Christ comes again and we receive that final promise. Lead us and guide us in your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.